You're listening to the Web Marketing Adelaide podcast. We give you the tips and strategies to help you utilise the web to get more traffic, leads and sales for your business. Now here's your host, Nick Morris.
Welcome to episode 3 of the Web Marketing Adelaide podcast. Today we've got the second half of my interview with Robina Carlson on social media marketing. For the first half, if you haven't heard it, check out episode 1. There's a link in the show notes. Our website, by the way, is www.webmarketingadelaide.com.au, and you can find links to the various things we talk about in the shows and notes about what's included in each episode by going there. And also, there's a new form I've just put up for feedback, so if you have any feedback on the show, what you like, what you didn't like, any sort of topics you want to hear about, then head over there and put some feedback into that form for me. Just before we get into that interview, I just wanted to talk about something I did this morning, which was a Flying Solo business meetup. Now, Flying Solo is a forum for small business owners. It's Australian based, so it's all people from all over Australia. You can go on there and talk about all sorts of different topics. They've got lots of different threads on, you know, marketing or, you know, starting a business, or, you know, specifically say search engine optimization, or, you know, various different topics. These people, you know, asking questions about tax this time of year and whatnot. So it's a really great place to get tips and stuff and ask questions and also lend your expertise to sort of build your reputation. And you can, usually in a forum, you can include a little signature at the bottom, and that sort of appears after each post you make. So if you make a really sort of informative post and someone finds that useful, then they can click through the signature to your website and they might become a customer. Anyway, the Adelaide has a fairly active community on Flying Solo. So now for going on 6 months or more, we've been having monthly meetups, usually probably in the first week or two of the month. And you can find out about them by going to the Flying Solo forums. That's just flyingsolo.com.au. Again, I'll have links in the show notes. And finding the South Australia sub-forum. You can find that there in the forums, and you can actually subscribe to that forum to get new threads and notifications of new threads, and then you can see when the new event is organised. And I'll probably put a note in the podcast as well in case you miss out on it. So that's a really good thing, and we usually get sort of about 10 or so people coming along. Today, admittedly, was a bit less, only 4 people, but still it was a great conversation, and it's good to catch up with people, especially if you're a solo business owner and you're perhaps don't get to socialise as much with, you know, people like you would if you were working in a bigger business. So it's a good for that as well. And I just thought I'd mention that I'm also going to another networking type event next week. I believe it's next Thursday, Thursday the 17th, I think it is, or 16th. I'll have a link in the show notes. This is Silicon Beach Drinks, so it's more of a techie kind of meetup with people who are sort of working or interested in the tech space. But yeah, if that's something that you're interested in, then come along. I think it's in the city about 5:30, so should be a good event. Now we're just going to rejoin the interview with Robina, and we're talking about how to stay productive when using social media for your business. Here's some tips for helping people to remain efficient when they're doing their social media marketing, so they don't sort of get sucked into it and
It can be very easy to do. I think you've got to, if you set some times, 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there, 15 minutes kind of throughout your day is probably a better way of It depends. If we're looking at small business, which I think is kind of the bent that we're looking at the moment, with small business, you're pretty time poor as is. So you're probably most likely to be checking any of the social media sites when you're in between meetings or you're on the way somewhere. So that's where your smartphones are really, really helpful. iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, doesn't matter. It really, you know, that's where you can really sort of make the most of it in that time frame when you're waiting for someone or something like that. That's kind of when you can check things, see if anyone's mentioned you. And again, it also depends on your level of commitment to social media platforms, you know. Have you decided to invest in video, for example, and go the whole hog and being very creative and taking a creative approach? Or have you decided just to kind of be there, kind of share when you get, you know, mentioned by somebody, but that's about it, you know, you're interacting, so interactive. Or if you've decided just to be informative, then you probably wouldn't need to check it very often at all. So I think it really depends on what your commitment level is to the platforms. But an easy way to kind of say you are taking an interactive approach, for example, and you're sharing other people's, and say you're just doing Twitter because that's all you have time for. And I think that, you know, you're better off doing one platform and committing to it and then eventually adding on each one as you go.
Rather than doing lots not very well.
No, I think you're better off trying to master more, you know, instead of being the jack of all trades, I think that you're probably better off just having those pages, like, you know, so that people can refer to you and that sort of thing. But if you've only got, say, half an hour a day or an hour a day, then invest it just in one platform, you know. And to split that time up during the day, you know, take 10 minutes to, say, you know, post something in the morning. Then you maybe you check it again at lunchtime, and then maybe you check it again after work and sometime in the evening type thing. So that's
just on the point about claiming that the all the different pages, but then only sort of really focusing on one.
Yeah.
Do you find, or is it an issue that maybe your customers see your Facebook page but has like no fans or no content on it? Would that sort of look bad in their eyes in some ways? Like,
I think it depends on the client, but some of them do tend to take those fan or number of likes very, very seriously. I think that there's, and the thing is, there's a couple of things there that need to be addressed. Expectations need to be addressed, first off. If you can only invest, say, half an hour a week, then you're not going to grow very quickly, and you'd probably be sitting at 0/10/20 because you invite your friends, of course, your nearest and dearest, who will support you no matter what. But you'd probably be sitting there for quite a while if you don't invest the time into the page and, say, upload just, you know, a couple of photo albums and, you know, at least make it look like the beginning of something, you know. And with timeline, there's a great opportunity there to map the history of organisations. I think it's just about expectation management. That's what the key thing is here, is that if the client is investing not much, you know, and we're talking like, you know, they basically just want you to set up a page, well, then they can't expect it to grow from 0 to 1,000 in a week if they haven't provided any incentive for anyone to connect with them. And that's, you know, providing valuable or unique or interesting content. But whereas, you know, say, for example, you have a client who is invested in social media and invests in their Facebook page and they invest in all these videos and they still have 0 likes, which I'd be very surprised at, then obviously they have a right to be kind of, you know, annoyed, disappointed, perhaps angry, bitter, so on and so on. But it's the case of where you've got... it depends on the investment level, I think, and you have to, as a consultant, you need to manage the client's expectations accordingly. So if their budget is low, then, you know, the expectations can't be very high. You know, you've got to say to them, look, you've got to invest the time in, and if you guys haven't got the resources in-house to do it, then, you know, you need someone to mentor somebody or that kind of thing. You then need to, that needs to be addressed, you know, like it can't be a case of, you know, I want the world and I don't want to pay anything for it. It doesn't work like that. So it takes investment, whether it's investing in someone to do it, run it for them within the organisation or externally or whatever it might be. They still need to make that investment and that commitment to the platforms that they've so chosen, or that rather the consultant has advised would be best for their particular brand or business.
Right, and is it also sort of worth noting perhaps that it's not so much the number of fans you have, but sort of the engagement?
No. I mean, I've seen sites where you've got, you know, 100,000 fans, and it's usually for celebrities and things like that. But the engagement levels vary. Some of them are people from our perhaps past. You know, I don't know if there are any Firefly fans listening today, but I'm a sci-fi tragic. That site, you know, that Facebook page has hundreds of thousands of people who love it, but the engagement, I would imagine, is quite low because the series has been cancelled for years. Like, you know, it's been 10 years or something crazy since this series was on TV. And it got cancelled halfway through its first season. So, you know, there are debates about why it's a cult classic. But point remains is that even though there are so many fans and so many people who love it, they're not engaged with the page specifically because there isn't much new content coming from the page itself. You know, people just kind of stumble across it and occasionally write, oh, I wish this was still on TV, or I wish. Whereas, you know, so you can have pages that have really high number of fans but very low engagement. Ideally, what you're looking for is a high proportion of engagement. So you're probably better off with 50 out of 75 people who are engaged with your brand rather than having 10 people out of 750 people who like your brand engaging with your brand.
Yeah.
What you're aiming for is a high percentage of people interacting with your brand. The other thing too, though, to look at it from, like, if you're looking at Facebook specifically, is that now insights have been revamped in recent times. You actually, you know, for me, to interact with the page, I don't actually have to like the page anymore to do it. You used to, you know, Facebook used to have it so that, you know, I have to like the page and then I can comment on the page. Now I can just comment willy-nilly however I like on brand pages. I don't have to like the brand to make a comment. Unless, of course, they've set their, locked up their settings and said no one can post on the wall. So that's really, really interesting. But looking at some of the stats, I'm finding more and more is that people who have seen this, or the potential reach, which is something that we also talk about, is that people who actually have engaged with it don't necessarily like the page. So we're seeing, like, you know, interactions from beyond the community of people. And that basically comes from when your current, you know, your you know, specifically on Facebook, people who like this, your community, as it were, start commenting on your page. Their networks are then seeing it too, and then their networks, if they then comment and so on and so on and so on. So what you're actually saying is that even though, say you've got 600 fans, but you reach 1,000, but then you've got, say it's 30 people or something like that who interact on that specific on a specific post, you might find of those 30 people, only 10 of them actually like your page. And that's the great thing about social, is that, you know, you can measure it and drill down to see where all your traffic is coming from, and, you know, what kind of people, like, is in the demographic, basically, so gender and age and country and language, where these people are coming across your page, and also, you know, which posts were more, I guess, liked or more, to take a Facebook term, more liked or more engaging, because it gives you all of the stats behind it as well. So it's a great way for people to kind of get feedback on what might work, and, you know, as far as marketing campaigns go, if you are a small business, if you have some ideas on how you might want to, say, run an ad, for example, but you're not sure on wording and things like that, you know, test it out on your Facebook groups or on your Facebook page, I should say, or send it out on Twitter and see what kind of responses you get, you know. Do people think that it's a...
Do you mean ask for their advice? Or,
well, no. Or just kind of putting it out there. So you can either, you know, put it... You can do it as both, I think. You can. It depends on how you feel, but you can ask a question, say, look, we're thinking about changing... What do you guys think about these following logos or something like that? And you might put, say, 1, 2, or 3 up and see what the response is. Or maybe you have a new slogan that you want to try, or, you know, you might have a question, something like, you know, what inspires you? Like, if you're a fitness center or something like that, you might have a question that's something along the lines of, okay, what inspires you to get to the gym? And that might in turn then spark off some more marketing campaign ideas and that sort of thing. So the other thing too is that social media is a, because it is this sort of two-way conversational nature, and it doesn't matter what platform you're looking at, it's all conversational, people discussing, you know, it could be discussing a video on YouTube in the comments section, or it might be just chatting amongst a community of, you know, wine lovers or something on Twitter or something like that. LinkedIn, there's plenty of discussions and groups and all that sort of thing. There's plenty of opportunity for engagement on those levels and conversation. And so the idea for businesses, and particularly small businesses, is trying to get into that conversation and making themselves relevant to those consumers, potential consumers, and that sort of thing.
Yep. Just on the point you mentioned before about people who don't like your page potentially engaging with you.
Yes.
Is that still good for you? Or do you
I would say so, absolutely.
So because do you ultimately want to try and get them to like your page as well, or is it good just to have...
Well, I think ultimately, yes, it would be nice if they did like your page, but if you think of it in terms of, I'm going to, Laurel Patworth, I don't know, she has this thing that she talks about, it's called the ripple effect. And basically, you know, that's what we're talking about here, where I say you put a post up, I then engage with it, my friends then see that happening on Facebook, they then might come and engage with it, so on and so on and so on. So it's good if you have people who are interacting with your page. I think it's a good thing. If they like your page, I think that's a bonus. But if you're getting in touch with people who don't like your page, then that can only be good for your business. It means that it's extending out beyond your existing community, and you're kind of, the brand is moving out there further.
So it's a bit of branding,
yeah.
And some of those people might, you know, come through and end up liking you.
Well, that's it, exactly. And, you know, and then from there, or maybe it's enough. Maybe that engagement with that particular post, or having a look at how you, say, handled a customer service complaint or something like that, is enough for them to say, you know what, I am going to just go and, you know, I want one of these things. It might be a product, or, you know, it might be something they file for later and go, someone says, you know, does anyone know who can do, you know, provide this kind of service, whether it's, you know, accounting, or it might be hospitality, or anyone know a good restaurant or something like that. You know, your experiences online are part of your, you know, I don't know how you say it, but they kind of interweave with your real life experiences and all that sort of thing. And so, you know, if you're having a real-life conversation with somebody, like, you know, your social media stuff and your online media activities don't exist in, like, this bubble. You know, I turn off the computer, I turn off my phone, and then you come out and then you don't get influenced by it. You know, you are still being influenced by all that stuff, by what you've engaged with and who you've engaged with and all that sort of thing. So when it comes to having a conversation across a coffee table or something like that, then, you know, someone might ask you, oh, do you know where I can get XYZ done? Oh, yeah, no, I saw this tattoo artist on, say, for example, might be tattoos. That might be something. Does anyone know where I can get a good tattoo? My tattoo artist just quit and I don't know where to go now. I'd be like, okay, well, actually, I saw someone on Twitter who was doing some amazing work, and they keep on tweeting photos of their art on, you know, people, obviously.
Yep.
Permanent art, obviously. But, you know, all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, you should get in touch with this person. So, you know, it's part of that fluid conversation, you know, that kind of happens online and off. So...
Right, yeah. And this is kind of what we were saying before. It's one of the aspects that's difficult to measure.
Yeah.
But I suppose there's been sort of studies, or there's been, you know, enough increase in business that you can sort of say with some certainty that it works.
Well, I think it does work for some, especially if you're, say, an entrepreneur, or if you've got something you just opened, something new, or if you're launching a new product, new menu, new something. I think that there's opportunity to create a lot of buzz on Twitter and on Facebook and any of these other social media sites. You know, there are specific sites out there for specific industries and things like that as well. So, you know, you do have plenty of opportunities there to make the most of it. Mainstream media is still an option, you know. Your traditional PR, like press releases and things like that, traditional marketing, traditional advertising, billboards, all that sort of stuff. that's all still an option to you, but you may find that, you know, the cost of doing something like that may be prohibitive to your budget. And so that's where social can kind of try and, you can try and bridge the gap a bit with social. And if you can come up with a catchy tagline, or if you have a product or something of interest to people, or if you're, you know, running a, you might have a launch party or something like that, you know, there's plenty of opportunity there to share, share photos, to share what happened and people's experiences and all that sort of thing. Increasingly, we're seeing, like, you know, a lot of Twitter buzz about around conferences and things like that. You know, it might be something as simple as TEDx Adelaide, or it might be something like the Marketing Ideas Conference, which is coming up at the end of August here in Adelaide. You know, we are looking at, you know, all these types of conferences and events, you know, hashtags, you know, during the Adelaide Fringe, for example, that hashtag was almost dead last year. As an active participant, there was pretty much myself and a few others, and that was pretty much it. This year, the artists were all tweeting, the heaps of people were just saying, oh, I went to the show, I liked it, or I didn't like it, or, you know, please help my friend out who's doing this show, go down to Noongar, or whatever it might be. So there were all sorts of people, you know, it was a really vibrant hashtag and a really great way of actually seeing the festival, of what people were doing and where they were going and all that sort of thing. Same with the Adelaide Festival, and you're seeing it more and more now with all of the different festivals that were run in Adelaide throughout the year, including the Cabaret Festival, Cabaret Fringe Festival, and so on and so on.
Is this sort of a testament or a reason because Twitter's getting more and more popular?
I'd say that, I don't know, I don't think popularity is it. I think it's more just sort of letting people know, you know. I think it's an education process here. I think that last year was the first year that there was, like, an official hashtag for the Adelaide Fringe Festival, as far as I know. And so I started kind of, you know, sort of contributing to it. And there were a few others there as well, and, you know, but there weren't that many. You know, people kind of not as vibrant, I would say. I think that they had, you know, I was looking at it and, you know, during the Fringe, during Mad March, the page kept refreshing at a very quick rate. You know, you'd go away for 5 minutes, come back, 20 new tweets, you know, which is pretty, you know, it's not nothing, you know, that's a fairly, you know, rapid thing, especially when that's during the day, and that's not even when everyone's out the garden of Unearthly Delights or whatever, partying the night away. So, you know, and I think that having the buy-in from the artists and having it in from Adelaide Fringe Management and also from the media outlets and then also from, you know, them pushing it as part of the marketing collateral for Adelaide Fringe, it really does kind of lend a credibility to that way of communicating with the Fringe and all that sort of thing. So then you get a lot of encouragement given to everybody else to kind of then start going in. So I think that's really important when it comes to any of these kind of conferences or events or festivals or anything where you are encouraging people to share their experiences, whether it's through using a hashtag or posting images to your Facebook wall or whatever it might be. The key thing is to communicate that it's okay for them to do that. I think for so many years it's please turn your phone off and, you know, all that kind of thing, whereas now you're hearing people say, well, please turn your phone to silent and feel free to tweet, you know, as things are happening here. You know, so that's kind of how I think that it's best made
it's to okay
most
to do
of
it.
It's okay, you know, like, well, that's it. I think it's more the education process that, as opposed to the popularity and the rise of Twitter and things like that. I think it's more the people are becoming, it's part of the social
part of the culture,
you know, that it is acceptable for me to look at my phone while someone is talking and tweeting what they're saying because I thought it was that particular quote was worth sharing. It was that poignant, that insightful. And, you know, the savvy kind of, presenters when it comes to conferences and that sort of thing, they put their Twitter handle up there because that way, you know for sure what the Twitter handle is. Sometimes you're not 100% sure. It might be this, it might be that. You know, so whether they have their own Twitter handle or not, sometimes it's difficult to figure out. But if they've made it obvious up there as well that they're going to engage, and then I found a lot of them engaged afterwards. This is after Marketing Week last year. You know, it was, you could tell those who were really engaged in the space and all that sort of thing. And we're hoping to keep that going during the next inception of Marketing Week, which is the Marketing Ideas Conference. So that'll be good.
Yep. thought perhaps we could just touch on some of the different tools and how to use them.
Yeah.
Just to get started on that, how should people sort of choose which tool, whether it be like Facebook or Twitter or YouTube, they sort of go into focus on?
I think that there are a few things that they need to keep in mind. They need to keep in mind how much time they've got to allocate to the platform, first and foremost. And as a result, look at how many they can engage on. Have a look at where they're... it's bandied about a fair bit, but go where your fish are. Go fish where the fish are, you know. If you're finding that a lot of your target demographic are on Facebook, because Facebook and Twitter and all these places, they all release every year stats about their respective demographics.
Okay.
Of overall users. So we have, 100% men or whatever it might be or that kind of thing. So have a look at those stats and see how it might work in. And what you can do. Also, have a look at the kind of things that you want to share. If you are going to be doing majority of text kind of based stuff, then maybe Twitter would be just fine. It's only 140 characters, but those 140 characters can count. But if you're doing just text based stuff, where it'll be just updates, okay, we're open now, and maybe an occasional photo, then Twitter is probably a more appropriate platform for you. It also depends on what kind of collateral, like as in hardware, you've got nearby. Will you be using a smartphone most of the time, or are you going to be scheduling updates using something like Hootsuite or perhaps even the Facebook page scheduler itself? Will you be using those particular products to get your message out? And if so, then you probably need to be in front of a desktop or a laptop to actually do it. Will you be using an iPad or a Motorola Zoom or any of these? I think those are considerations that you've got to consider, and then also how it might work in with, because most of the time it is someone's existing job that they get social media just kind of falls on top of, to kind of do it as they, like that kind of thing. So I think it also depends on your industry. So there are a lot of things to consider when it comes to looking at which one to take on.
When they're sort of first getting into it, or people first looking at it, they should look at it.
The other thing too is that, look at your competitors too. See what they're doing, and can you do it better? Or do you think you can do it differently? I think that's another way of having a look at where you might be able to, score some points.
Score some points there. Yeah. So just looking more closely now at Facebook, just can you go through perhaps some of the basic aspects
of a Facebook page?
Of a Facebook page?
Yep.
And for instance, should people have a Facebook page, or should they have a profile for their business?
Well, absolutely. Facebook term and conditions say that you cannot. You cannot have a profile page for a business. So I can't be a person. A business can't be a person.
Yep.
Because they're not. So you absolutely must open a Facebook page. There are plenty of categories that come all the way from community through to industry to, consulting to whatever, projects, not-for-profit, so on and so on. There are plenty of categories there. So choose the category that's right for you. I think that's a good way of going about it. With that sort of thing. So once you've started your page, these days, if you are starting a new page, it'll be timeline automatically, which means that you need a nice graphic to go over the top, a good profile picture that represents your business or your brand, or perhaps it might even be the face of your business or your brand, and putting that as your profile picture. And then of course you then have all the different areas, so you've got what essentially is still the Facebook wall, except just laid out in more of a newspaper dual column type thing. So you then can scroll through and add links, or it's really important to fill out your about section, put in your current address, put in what you're about, put in your contact phone number, opening hours if it applies, payment methods, so on and so on and so on.
Yep.
So that's quite important too. So you've got that section there. You also have, sort of buttons that appear at the top, I guess you could call them. They're kind of like little, they're not little windows more so than buttons, but it tells, you know, you can change what goes there, but you can put in there, like it'll come up with the number of likes for your page. It'll have, you could have upcoming events, you could have photos, you could have embed your video, like YouTube channels, things like that. You can also run competitions, of course, running in with the promotion guidelines set by Facebook, so you need a third-party app to go in to do that.
Okay.
But, yeah, and then you've also got, you know, you can also upload videos straight to Facebook as well. You don't have to put it on a YouTube channel or anything like that. It can go straight to Facebook. And then also you've got just... you've got other apps that you can add on.
Right. What are some of the functionality you can get from these other apps?
Like you can, for example, you can embed your Twitter feed if you have one. You can embed your YouTube channel if you have one. And with your YouTube channel, you can choose to either embed your own videos or your favourite videos. So say you don't have your own content yet, but maybe you're a radio station and maybe you really like... or a program, or it might even be just a program on a radio station. Our favourites are the top 10 for this week. So it might be, I don't even know who's in the top 10. So I'm just going to say people like Missy Higgins and Alexi Murdoch, and I don't even know anybody actually in the top 10. Beyonce or something like that. You know, I don't know. But you might pick, you know, or my, you know, fave 10 or whatever it might be. So you can use, you can do both there. You also can, there are tons and tons of Facebook apps that will allow you to put, you can even put shops into Facebook. You can put like sign up forms and things like that if you're looking to increase your e-newsletter subscriber, which is something we haven't touched on this time around. But e-newsletters, there's another opportunity for integration with social media and blogs and all that sort of thing happening there as well. So... you know, I think that the social media is one aspect of your web marketing or digital marketing strategy, and so you can't ignore like your e-newsletters, you know, blogs, your actual website. Is it functional? Is it easy to use? Is it, you know, going back to basics here? Is it readable by everybody, you know? It doesn't matter if you're using Safari or Internet Explorer or whatever, you know, that kind of stuff. So, you know, there are other aspects. Then, of course, you've got the search engine optimization, search engine marketing and all that as well. And then, you know, copy and all that sort of stuff. So there's a lot of different graphic design, of course. So there are a lot of different aspects that come in together to give you a successful digital marketing or a web marketing strategy. And social media is just one component of that. If it's the component that you choose to focus on, that's great, but just bear in mind that you do have other areas there too. So, you know, it's all, again, it's very, very dependent on the industry and also the client and all that sort of stuff as well.
And yeah, you just touched on then, so there's lots of different ways that social media can integrate with other marketing channels.
Yes, absolutely.
As well. So it's sort of a very integrated approach to marketing.
Well, that's it, absolutely. Like, I mean, I take that approach with my clients. I ask them about what other activities that they're doing. Have they considered using any other sort of, you know, activities? Why they want to get into social? If the answer is because everybody else, well, that's not good enough. You know, you need there needs to be a real objective in mind. You know, we want to increase the number of hits to our website, or we want to see an increase in sales in this particular thing, or we want to see a higher recognition of our, like a higher level of recognition of our brand, or, you know, we want more visitors in our shop. Or we want more, you know, people coming to eat at our restaurant or whatever it might be. You know, there needs to be some real tangible objectives there, you know. We want to increase our membership. It's a membership group or something like that.
And should people have an idea of the stuff they want to do before they get started with social media, or is it okay to sort of get in there and
I think it's it depends on your particular brand. If you're, for example, Coca-Cola and you kind of came in without a plan, I don't think that's a good idea at all, because Coca-Cola is one of the biggest brands on the planet.
Yep.
It's massive. If, on the other hand, you were kind of more of your sole trader or, you know, partnership, or you've got a small team of, say, 5 or 6, yeah, you can kind of faff about and, you know, take it easy and kind of that sort of
thing.
Figure it out as you go. But you do need to have some goals set in mind. You do need to have objectives that might be business objectives or marketing objectives or sales objectives that you ultimately want to achieve as a result. Otherwise, you're kind of just in the space without any real...
Right, probably less efficient than...
Yeah, because you're not really, you know, you're not sure how to target, or you're not sure who to target, or, you know, if you're, say you're a hip new bar or something like that that's just opened up and you want to have a queue outside around the corner type thing, you know, how do you do that? Well, you need to... I guess look at, you know, that's what you want. So then we then look at, okay, well, which platforms are going to give you that? Which kind of areas are going to work best for you? You know, are we best off just kind of doing a social media blitz, or are you better off doing a bit of, you know, PR, or trying to get like some photographers around, or, you know, what's the kind of the thing that's going to make it happen for you? It's something that you've got to just kind of work through, and, you know, without those goals and without objectives, then you're kind of just in the space, and you're in the space, and then you kind of will probably forever stay at the bottom type thing, because you're not sure why you're there or what you're doing. You know, there's plenty of resources out there. You know, there are plenty of consultants in Adelaide as well, particularly. But there's also, you know, plenty of... you know, there's also lots of blogs out there, and, you know, advice on for newbies and that sort of thing. So, you know, things that you should do, you know, before you, you know, to think about and all that sort of thing. So.
Yep. Well, I mean, there's lots we could probably talk about more in the social media marketing space, but I think we'll finish off that section with just, you can give us some ideas of what are the different options for businesses, for instance, like running campaigns themselves or outsourcing that.
You do have a few options. You can, of course, run it all in-house, which, you know, I think in an ideal world that's best. I've worked with a number of clients where I've ghostwritten for some of it, and other times I have mentored and trained their staff to do it. The instances where I've mentored and trained their staff have been able to come back with the right answer. Right is not really the way of saying it, but the better answer, the real answer, the answer that, you know, I you could ask me anything about social media and I'd be able to give you the answer. In the case of, say, bartending or something like that, if someone asked me, you know, I really like Manhattan's, what's a great twist on a modern twist on this classic drink? I've got no idea. You know, I don't know which bourbon I should recommend. I don't know a new bourbon that's particularly good. I don't know any of these sort of little details that, you know, it comes from the staff with no hesitation, because that's what they do behind the bar all day in a bar situation. Someone comes and says, I like this, but I want something new. What can you do? They will just make it, and they know what the answer is. And the answer, because it's more authentic than the answer that I would have given if I went and Googled for something that was, you know, something different, is much better, you know. And I think that, you know, in time, consumers are going to be savvy enough to know the difference between someone who... knows about the brand, who knows a lot about the product and knows what's happening with the product and that sort of thing, as opposed to, you know, outsourcing is good, I think, it's for some businesses, because obviously if they don't have the time or the resources in-house but still want to commit, then, you know, they can absolutely outsource it. I think the important thing, though, is that when you do outsource it, is that the person who's it's being outsourced to, or the firm it's being outsourced to, has access to relevant and updated product information and all that sort of stuff, so that they can do it convincingly.
Yep.
I think that's really important. If there isn't a contact, like a go-to person in the actual organisation who they can just bring up and talk to and say, look, we had this thing come through, what what should the response be, because we haven't covered it already in previous guidelines or policy or anything like that, which, you know, occasionally it does happen, you get blindsided. But having that contact within the organisation helps you to actually kind of push things through and all that sort of thing. It makes things a lot easier. So I think outsourcing is a good idea if you haven't got the resources in-house, and it also depends on what industry you're in as well.
Yeah.
Especially if you need someone to do some technical writing and things like that, then, you know, outsourcing is not a bad idea at all for blogging and all that sort of thing. But when it comes to, you know, that immediate response of, you know, that's something that's perhaps more personal, so it might be hospitality or tourism or something like that. If you're not familiar with the product, then, you know, the answer you give might be less than authentic, you know. And I'm not sure, like, you know, I mean, some people might notice it, some people might not, but ideally what you want to be doing is you want to be authentic when you're on social media. You want to be real. And that's something that's really, really important, I think, to be transparent, to be who you are.
Thanks for joining me for another episode of Web Marketing Adelaide. If you want to find out any more about Robina or anything else we've discussed in this episode, head to our website, www.webmarketingadelaide.com.au. See you next week.